Okay, let's continue on. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. The first reference to El Shaddai, if you remember our reference to that with the names of God. Walk before me and be perfect. Now, in this case, you may want to also circle the word covenant and number them, but I will tell you that it numbers 13 times the number of rebellion. Okay? You have also with 13, you have 7, number of God, plus 6, the number of man. So you have many different ways in it. All right? He said, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, wait a minute. Did he not already make a covenant with Abraham? We read it. Yes, he made a covenant with Abraham. It says he made a covenant with Abraham. So there are two categories of covenants with Abraham. We have the one referred to by the Apostle Paul in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, to seed not of many, but as of one, referring to Christ. Here he's talking about seed as of many, nations, peoples. That's the other part of the covenant that he gave. Okay? This then was a physical covenant, as we will see, with physical promises of inheritance in this age, that is before the coming kingdom of God. And the token of the covenant was physical. Token of the covenant in Genesis 15 was spiritual. It was belief and faith. Here we have the token of the covenant. It's a little different. So let's go through it verse by verse. Verse 3. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant will be with you. He gave him no choice. He says it's going to be with you. Notice no negotiation on the part of Abram. And you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name be called Abram, but it shall be called Abraham. Remember, the H from Yahweh is inserted into the name of Abram, so we have Abraham, because it was going to be God's doing in his life. So therefore, part of God's name, Yahweh, is in the name Abraham. Continuing now, for a father of many nations have I made you, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations. You can please note, I'll just say it for the record, covenant is used in verse 2, verse 4, twice in verse 7, verse 9, 10, 11, twice in verse 13, and that's interesting, 14, 19 twice, and in 21 for a total of 13 times. Now, verse 7, let's finish it up, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. Now, the covenant of race, in spite of spiritual correction because of disobedience, is still in effect today. It's an everlasting covenant, still in effect today. And I will give you and your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, you shall therefore keep my covenant, you and your seed after you and their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. So here then we have the covenant of circumcision. From whence then the covenant comes down to Israel. But remember, the first covenant was not in circumcision. The obedience and the faith was while Abraham was not circumcised. We'll cover that a little more. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. In this case, there was no sacrifice given, but there was bloodletting, right? Yes. And it shall be a token. Here's the token of the covenant. Notice all the way through. Covenant, promises, blessings, obedience, token, bloodletting. A little different form in each one, but it's all the elements are there. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in your house or that is bought with money of any stranger which is not of your seed. He that is, verse 13, born in your house, he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant, and the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, hold your place right here. We will come right back. I want you to quickly turn to Exodus 12, the last part of the chapter of Exodus 12, and we will see that the requirement is exactly the same concerning the token of the covenant of Israel. Was not only circumcision, but it had to do with the Passover. Token is circumcision, and the keeping of the Passover is a confirmation or reaffirmation of it. Verse 43, Exodus 12. Verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant. Now the wording is almost identical, right? That is bought for money. When he is circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. Now you see, a bought servant was to be in a greater relationship with the household in God than a hired servant. He was to be part of that family, though in a serving capacity. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. Hence will share in the blessing given. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. There one law shall be to him that is homeborn unto the stranger that sojourns with you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, did they. Now, let's go back to chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. Isn't it interesting how close that the wording is? Okay. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, again the word H from Yahweh was added to her name. Part of God's name was added to Sarai's name. Okay? The structure that God has in the Bible concerning men and women is only for order and peace and authority and direction, has nothing to do with qualifications as a person having relationship with God or not. That's why God gave part of his name to Sarah too. Shall be her name. I will bless her. I will give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, so forth. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. See, even though Abraham was willing to do something different, God said, no, my covenant, my will, it's going to be done. In due season, in due time, Sarah will conceive. That's the child of promise, which is Isaac. And it was so. Let's come down here to verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with you, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham, and so forth. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, all that were born in his house, all that were bought with money. Can you imagine what this was? Can you imagine? Here all these people going along, whatever their daily thing was. Now you have a sudden solemn meeting, and Abraham calls it and says, all right, get out the knives, guys. Okay? So they had a big circumcision party that day. Abraham at 99 was circumcised. And he probably told him, well, if you want to stay here, you got to do it. Do I really have? Yes, you really got to do it. Okay? And all the men of his house, born in the house, bought with money of the strangers, were circumcised with him. He probably said, look, I am too. All right? Let's come to chapter 22. Because now we have the part of the covenant, which then is the oath. Always the oath. I won't belabor the point. We've gone through this many times. We'll just stop here and briefly touch it. Just cover a couple of verses that we have to understand, that before the oath comes in an irrevocable way, God has got to know something absolutely for sure. And we pick it up here in verse 12 of chapter 22. We know that Abraham obeyed. We know all that. We know that God provided the sacrifice and so forth. Verse 12. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you any harm, anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. That's what God needs to know. The whole key, brethren, of everything that we are doing in our lives is, do we love God and obey God with all our heart and mind and soul and being? That's it. That's between you and God. That's why one of the most damnable things that can happen, and I'll use the word not advisedly, but it is a damnable thing, because you bring curses upon yourself in two ways. To take the religion of God and to twist it in such a way that you make it where you're running it as a man and sever that relationship between the individual and God. And number two, then you take it and you claim the name of God, as we'll see, like the Pharisees and scribes did, and they weren't following or obeying God. Okay? This is the key right here. God has to know this. After all this time, the 25 years before Isaac was born, the 12 after, we'll say he was 12 at this point, no older than 20. Some people think 30, but we'll say between 12 and 20, more likely 12. He says, I know that you fear me. Okay? Now when that happens, then God does something that's very important. And I'm sure God does it in each one of our lives to a certain degree. He said, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So then he looked up and he found the sacrifice and he offered it. And, verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your only son, your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sands which are upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Now that's why when we come to the New Testament, it starts out with John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, okay, because those are the words of God. We'll see the parallel when we get to the New Testament. Key thing, you have obeyed my voice. All right? Let's go on. Let's come to chapter 25. We know Sarah died. We know that Rebekah was fetched. She came, and she became the wife of Isaac. We come to chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 11. We've covered all the other. I want to cover a few things with Isaac here before we finish this section today. Because lots of times we forget Isaac. But let's not forget Isaac, because Paul said in Galatians 4 that we, as Isaac, are the children of promise. Now, we think Jacob was great, and we think Abraham was great. That's correct. But I want to tell you, Isaac was great. Of the seed of the promise that God gave, don't you think he would bless Isaac? Many times we just overlook it. We say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We concentrate on Abraham, we concentrate on Jacob, and we forget Isaac. Okay, let's look at a few things here. Verse 11, it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well at Lahai Roi. Very interesting concerning Isaac, we'll see here in a little bit. We know that they had two sons, twins, Jacob and Esau. I will bring a sermon to show the pattern that in many cases, not all, in many cases, the one first given the opportunity is rejected. Adam, Cain, Esau, then we have with Judah, Perez and Zerah. So they're first covenant, second covenant. Many parallels where the first is rejected. Okay? Let's come over here to chapter 26. Chapter 26 and verse 1. And there was famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, near Gir. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you, for unto you and unto your seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. From here on, it always refers to Abraham, then Abraham and Isaac, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as a matter of fact, by the time we come to the book of Deuteronomy, the reference to the covenant with Abraham is no less than 26 times as the basis for the covenant that they are talking about in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's finish here. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's quite a statement, isn't it? That's really something, isn't it? The rest of the world has been trying to figure out how they can get the blessings of God by climbing up another way. And they never get them, because God has not determined it any other way than this. But notice verse 5, and we'll focus in on this just a bit here before we go on. Because means for the cause of the fact that Abraham, notice, obeyed my voice. I want to focus in on that because that's the key to any covenant. Obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Question. Which commandments, statutes, and laws? Does it tell us? No. God does things very interestingly, doesn't he? He says things sometimes and tells us what they are at another place. Let's just stop and think for a minute. How big was the entourage of Abraham? It was so big that he was able to harness up an army of over 300 to go after King Tidal, who came down and took away Lot. It was a big one. Did he have children born in his entourage? I mean, it was like a moving plantation, folks. Okay? Yes. Were there marriages? Yes. Do you suppose there may be been a little petty thievery now and then? Do you suppose there may have been a little dispute over to whose camel or whose jackass belonged to who? Do you suppose there may have been a little difficulty? Maybe there was a fight one night? Do you suppose that they had slaves that they had purchased? Yes. Sure they did. What commandments and what statutes did he follow? We'll answer it. Let's go to Exodus 21. If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, do you not think that in similar circumstances he would have the exact same law? Yes. All right, so I submit to you, beginning here in Exodus 21, where it says, these are the judgments. Then it says a little later, these are the statutes. Okay, here are the judgments based upon the laws of God. It talks about, first of all, a Hebrew servant. It talks about smiting a man. It talks about smiting a mother and father. It talks about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Did not Abraham have to make certain judgments? Because was he not patriarch over his whole moving entourage of his moving plantation? Yes. I submit to you that everything that we have here, going all the way through, has to do with the laws and the statutes and the commandments that God kept, or that Abraham kept, that God gave him. Why would they be any different? They would have to be the same. Now, it does not tell us concerning the holy days, but you can go to Leviticus 23, and it says these are the statutes of the holy days. Okay? Now, Do you suppose that the holy days were kept in reference to when God called Abraham, in reference to when the circumcision took place, in reference to the time that God blessed him? I would say that there were certain days that they kept which were special in addition to the Sabbath. We know that the Sabbath was binding from creation. So we know that Abraham kept the Sabbath. Okay? So you have to, from this one paragraph, you have to ask the question where it says in verse 5, Genesis 26, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, which ones? Obviously, the ones that God gave to Israel were no different than the ones that God gave to Abraham. Pure and simple. Just like when we come to the sacrifices, we will see the same parallel. The sacrifices before Israel were literally the same sacrifices that were after Israel. Okay, did not Job have to offer sacrifices because of sin? Job was one of the patriarchs under the patriarchal system. Now, let's finish right here in chapter 26, and then we'll end this one at this particular point. Genesis 26 and verse 6 now. And Isaac dwelt at Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, falls into the same sin, right? She is my sister. Why would he say that? Because Abraham probably related the account to him again, and whenever you have an account related, Genesis 26 and verse 6 now, okay? You always justify your actions by the past behavior of someone you know. Isn't that correct? Well, my daddy did it. I remember one time I told the kids about what I did when I was, about 6 years old, a couple of us kids. We went over, and it was in the fall, and all these rotten apples were on the orchard, and we thought, boy, well, we hated our landlord because he was a gripey, miserable old man, so we figured he wasn't home, but we didn't know he was home. We got all these rotten apples and started throwing it up on the side of the house. And we were laughing and having a hilarious time and rotten apples sliding down off his wall. I mean, there were bushels of rotten apples out there. And so in our great hilarity, we were throwing them, and all of a sudden up drove a police car. Bam! Scared the living tar out of us. I bet our knees fell up above our eyeballs, you know. It was something. So the police and the guy had a conference, and they looked at us, and we were, ooh, you know. So they said, all right, we won't press charges on you if you clean it up. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, you know. So we cleaned it up. So lo and behold, I was telling my boys about that. So one day we came home from church, and that was the day we happened to have a babysitter there. We got home. As soon as we got home, the neighbor came up and knocked on the door. I have something to say to you about your sons. What is it? They were throwing tomatoes at my house. So we went through the same thing. Got it all done. Guess what my sons told me? Well, Dad, didn't you throw apples on the side of that person's house? And we only hit this one with one or two tomatoes. Same thing here. She's my sister. Okay? For he feared to say, she's my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is your wife. Now how said you, she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said this, lest I die for. And Abimelech said, what is it that you have done to us? One of the people might lightly have lain with your wife, and you should have brought the guiltiness upon us. So even there in Canaan, even the Canaanites understood God's laws, didn't they? Eh? And Abimelech charged his people, saying that he that touches this man or his wife should surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year 100-fold. Does that not remind you of a scripture in the New Testament? Matthew 13, you plant the seed and some shall bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? What a parallel. Okay? And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. It's talking about Isaac. He was like a king in the land. Okay? And he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Sound a little familiar, doesn't it? Huh? Okay. And for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. See, when Abraham died, they went and said, boy, our covenant with him is over. Close in all of these wells. Sound typical Eastern, you know, Mideastern thing, isn't it? They just get this headlock, stubborn, just unmovable. Bam! So they did it. Closed up all the wells. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than I. So he departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gir and dwelt there. And Abraham digged the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Isn't it interesting? Water. What's that a type of? The Holy Spirit. Put in there Psalm, the first chapter. Blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walks in the way of sinners, but meditates in the law of God day and night and delights therein. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Water, a type of Holy Spirit. water in the desert where things grow, and they grow. They could have 3, 4, 5 crops there. No problem at all. Okay, so here are the wells. So Isaac's servants, let's finish this off here. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the name by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gir did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours," and they called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him, and that means contentions. And they digged another well and strove for it also, and they called the name of that Sitna, and he removed from there and digged another well. So wherever he went, he dug a well. God was with him. Now I tell you, wandering around what is a semi-arid place, and to get a well is really a fantastic thing. So wherever he went, there was water. There was a blessing of God. Okay? And they strove not for it, and he called the name of their Rehoboth, which then is the well of Rehoboth, which is room, enough room. For I said, "Now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your seed for my servants Abraham's sake." Notice, it goes back to the promise of Abraham. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched a tent there, and Isaac's servants digged a well there. Boy, you know, Isaac was really a whole lot more than we figured. Okay?